and we're ready for our final guest of the evening to talk about all things politically. We have a federal election campaign going on across Canada right now, and also in British Columbia we have a big realignment of the political scenery here with a new premier, Christy Clark. I see she's referred to as Christy Crunch in your email today.
Oh, you probably haven't seen the ad. You've been away.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that in a second. And we also, of course, have Member of Parliament John Cummings, who we had on the show 3 or 4 weeks ago, all but announcing his candidacy for the leadership of the BC
Conservative
Party. We got
the scoop. Roadkill Radio got the scoop.
He's now the leader, right? Because nobody else nobody else put their nomination as
well,
he's the acclaimed leader.
I mean, he comes as good as they get. But
right.
You know what? He's in my riding. Oh. He moved just down the road from me.
Just because he wanted to be close.
So
anyway,
I knew it.
Here tonight to talk about all of this, and I'm sure more, is John Twigg, political commentator. John, are you with us now?
I am, Terry, and nice to hear from you. And hello, Carrie, too.
Hey, John. How
hi,
you doing?
Hi, John.
I'm good. I enjoyed you guys. Another quiet night on the radio, eh?
Yeah, right. Well, we seem to have we have fun, you know, and that's part of it, because we have to be entertaining. But that's natural to both of our psyches.
We can't help ourselves, Terry.
It's kind of a self-defense mechanism,
you know,
too.
I want to draw some opinions out of you guys, so I'd like to start by asking Terry a question.
Go ahead.
What do you think, Terry, of Harper's campaign style, in particular, you know, kids getting ousted from rallies because they match a Facebook picture and stuff?
Well, actually, I would say whatever it takes to win, win.
Okay.
That's my first response. And any party has the right to do that.
See, you're such a cynic now after that little civic challenge you went in, you know.
Maybe it did change me.
No,
that's not illegal. A party runs its own affairs. It might not be nice. And you know what? If the public doesn't like it, they will vote against him. And that's
okay.
Fine.
Let me change the question. What do you think about Harper only taking 5 questions a day from the media?
I think the media will probably run out of questions after about 3.
Well, and you know, I wanna say something to that too,
sure.
John, because I think Canadians don't trust the mainstream, downstream media anymore. The ability to deliver information has changed and will never be the same. That's old style politics, and I don't think that that's where we're at anymore. People have the ability to get their message out. You know, we just, at the introduction of the show, you know, Terry was clueless about the Christy Crunch. He's been away for 10 days, right? Well, this is it. This is the best ad that I have ever seen from a political party. I laughed. I roared. Brilliant. You know, as far as what they did with it. You're going to have to watch
it. I will watch it. Okay, but, John, I'm sure I'm disappointing you with my answers.
No, actually, genuinely, because, you know, you've been a journalist for a long time.
Well, you know, and I became quite a cynical mainstream journalist, and now I'm... And really, you know, I've got no sympathy for the mainstream, downstream journalism at all.
Well, it's censored media.
You know, they censor themselves. It's PAC journalism. It's gotcha journalism. And if you want me to show any sympathy for the PAC that hounds the prime minister, the leader of the opposition, I'm sorry. I am not going to go there. No sympathy whatsoever. They can manipulate all they want and manipulate those guys.
Yeah.
And you know what? And it shows, really, you know, like, I don't care.
Oh,
I really don't care.
You know, I sympathize with you in a lot of ways. And, I mean, I thought Bill Good's treatment of the HST this morning with some guests, he was a bit more defensive of it than I thought was appropriate. But I mean, you know, it's a democracy. He can do his thing.
Yeah.
The other one is Global TV, and I think maybe more than one of them. But, you know, they have this kind of ask your question promotion going on, as if you can be part of the democratic process merely by submitting a question to the mainstream media. And
you know, I've been in on those meetings. I worked for a major in Vancouver, City TV Newsroom, for 6 years. And you know what? We had these big meetings before an election campaign. And one of the things that, actually, even before this was before my eyes were opened, and this was before I became a total
cynic.
This
is when you were young and innocent.
You know what? And even then, this irked me. They'd be sitting around, all the producers and executive producers and directors, and where I'm saying, okay, we can't let the politicians get away with running the campaigns that we want them to run. We have to ask the questions that we think are important, that we think the people want to know about. So what do you think those are? Like, okay, we want to get the make on the environment on this. And I was going, well, wait a bloody minute here. I didn't really voice my I was going, okay, you know, I'll do what you want me to do. But I'm thinking in the back of my mind, this is their campaign. And let's cover the campaign. And it got so bad. And this is going back, one of the campaigns, what was it? It was the campaign when Bob Skelly was leader of the NDP. Okay? And Bob Skelly, it was revealed during the campaign that he froze during media scrums. And in one important media scrum, the first weekend of the campaign, he basically froze and said, can we start all this over again?
Yeah, okay. I was there, actually.
Okay. Our news executive producer killed that story. That has nothing to do with what's really important, he said.
Yeah.
We're not going to show that clip.
Except the guy who's trying for the office.
This guy can't take any pressure. This guy's going to trying to be premier, and he can't take pressure. You don't think that's important because it doesn't fit your agenda? Excuse me.
Yeah.
I was upset about that. Just on the newsworthiness of it.
Yeah.
My God, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You got your head so far up your ass, you don't know what's right. Anyway, so
I think some people bend over backwards so far to be fair that they become unfair again. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway,
John.
I mean, different people have sort of different ways of deluding themselves into what they think is proper for reality.
Yeah.
So John,
I want to know what you think.
In the dark.
John, I want to know what you think about Prime Minister Stephen Harper's very tightly managed campaign right now, where he is excluding people, where he's limiting questions, all of this sort of stuff. What do you think about that?
Well, you may be surprised, but I agree with you, because that is their choice.
Exactly. Okay.
However,
I am surprised.
Is it a wise strategy?
Well, I
think, especially when he's already been getting so much trouble for being a reputed control freak,
that
his handlers should try and take that edge off. I mean, you know, instead of kicking the kids out, he should give them a picture the same way Ignatieff did.
Well, you know what, though, John? Let me stop you on that. I, as a taxpayer and somebody who, and I think I'm not unique in this, I think it's brilliant of him. That shows somebody who's savvy to how the downstream media works, how their bias are used on the front pages and in 700-word nonsense like what Terry was referring to earlier.
Yeah.
I think we are back to this issue that the people are onto this. What the message that Harper's sending is, I'm not playing that silly game anymore. I'm setting the agenda. I am providing leadership on this.
I think it's a case where you do both. Yes, he's right. I mean, like today he did gun control, and, you know, that's an issue we probably all agree on.
Yeah. He was very good, too. What a great
But that doesn't stop him from being a kinder, gentler father figure type thing. You know, he can do it with a little girl in Winnipeg that sings, but his handlers are, I think, maybe being overprotective.
Well, the other thing here is that, you know, you really have to be who you are.
Hmm.
And the public can smell a phony.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that they don't want. They don't want hypocrites and they don't want phonies. They tried to put Gordon Campbell in a checkered shirt and playing guitar.
I know.
Didn't come across. I mean, yeah, maybe he did that among friends and stuff, but that's just not who he is.
But if they'd come to me to get a bale of hay, it would have been all different.
That's right.
Terry, you know?
So you got to be who you are, and and I think really Harper is this sort of a guy.
Yeah.
And you know, it's been 5 years now, and he's won a couple of elections, and he's going to – they can't really change him, you know.
Another point on this, I defend him for being a control freak on his caucus in terms of, you know, and bureaucrats and ministers making statements. It's all got to go through Harper's staff filter.
Uh-huh.
That's appropriate in his case because he's got a bunch of yahoos in the back benches. I mean, Cummins, who's the loose cannon.
Well, it's not as much of a yahoos as they used to have, and I would say that
a loose cannon for him. He's not a yahoo
at all.
But there have been in the past, And
well, it's also it's also appropriate, John, given the state of the downstream media now and the state of PAC journalism. Yeah. I think it used to be when reporters and editors understood that individual members of parliament were elected and had these sort of a mandate of the people, whatever. And they would sort of cut them some slack, okay, this is what you say, this is what you say.
Or make a differentiation.
It wouldn't become, and there wasn't the ability that TV now has, radio to some extent, and TV especially, to just sort of focus everything with a giant magnifying glass. Just picture this magnifying glass, which is TV, a TV lens, focusing all the power of the sun down to some little point on a little ant. You're going to burn that ant to a crisp. And that's what happens when you have the issue of the day burning up, when Bob Ringma, let's say, the poor member of Parliament from Vancouver Island, who years ago just got absolutely crucified for saying that, practically speaking, if I'm a owner of a store and my customers don't like the fact that there's an outwardly gay clerk here, I'd ask him to go to the back and stock shelves instead. Very politically incorrect thing to say, and boy, he's absolutely crucified, and the whole party got crucified because of that.
I think, too, of that woman Tory candidate in Manitoba who spoke out. I can't even remember what the issue was now. It might have been abortion or something, but...
I do remember,
But, I mean, she was reputed, and I think with some fairness, to have, cost the Tories the election that year.
Well, and there was also the Canadian Alliance election defeat was put on the shoulders of Randy White for musing aloud about those Supreme Court justices, who are they anyway, or something, being not a very sophisticated, well thought out, kind of a knee jerk kind of a,
it's for a saying what the majority of us think,
right? Exactly, but boy,
well, there's certain elements of the, as you call it, the downstream media that jump on that stuff.
Yeah.
They're waiting for the Stanfield to drop the ball.
That's right, and in that sort of a milieu. Yeah. Media milieu, you've got to be very careful. And Harper especially, because he's a conservative and the downstream media are liberal, that he's got to be extra careful. They cut a lot of – they'll give more slack to the people of the left. Just look at all the slack Obama gets, Look at the slack that Ignatieff gets, He gets a tremendous amount of slack.
Okay, let's go to a billion-dollar issue, fighter jets. I haven't studied this one in depth. What do you guys know and think about it?
Well, the whole process was started under the Chrétien Martin government, where we were one of many countries that contributed tens of millions of dollars. We contributed Canada tens of millions, maybe hundreds of millions of dollars to the development of this one plane. It was sort of, as far as I understand it, and I could be wrong because I haven't studied this in great detail, it was sort of a consensus plane that all the Western that many of the Western powers said, this is the one chosen plane, and we're all going to help develop this plane. So we've already invested tens, if not hundreds of millions of dollars in the development of this plane.
Yeah.
And this die was sort of cast, and it started years and years and years ago.
And in a different political playground.
Yeah, absolutely. And so here we are now, essentially, this is the end game now.
Yeah, we get the product.
John, you should do this. And if I had more time, I think I would. And maybe you don't have as much time as I do. And who knows? We'll flip a coin. But we got to go back. This is the sort of thing that you are not reading in the downstream media right now, the full history of the development of this plane.
Yeah.
And it did start a decade ago. And I bet you it was Paul Martin or John Chrétien or one of the defense ministers under Liberal government who started the policy of developing this and putting money into it. Because I know this is because, we wrote about this back in the day of the Report magazines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I heard some stuff I got to give NW credit for having on. They had a guy on, fourth and fifth generation jets, and you have to have stealth, and if you don't have stealth, you get shot out. But there's a question of whether or not this design has so many bells and whistles that it can't fly very well.
Well,
so, I don't know.
You hear that? Yes, that's always.
You can
a
always
problem
have your naysayers
up.
And.
Well,
and,
listen,
yeah.
Kerry is a former commercial pilot.
That's right.
And so Kerry, You get the last word here.
Well, you know, you work out the bugs. If you have a problem, I mean, you know, there isn't an aircraft that doesn't get delivered that doesn't have something. It's like any form of technology, right?
Yeah.
You know, the issues, though, as far as fighter aircraft go these days, I mean, there is a whole arsenal of requirements that you need now in order to keep our pilots and our men and women safe up there.
Yeah.
You know, and this is the problem with development of this kind of technology, too, because as Terry says, you know, this started way back a decade ago. You know, then we have all the things that have been developed since then from different countries or different product manufacturers, all those things. So, you know, and again, John, you know, that we don't know what it's going to do. We're speculating, you know, we're trying to create rubbish news before we even know that there's news. And you know, we just don't do that here on Roadkill. Well, let's wait and see what goes.
Yeah.
I'm sure the engineers that have been involved in the development of this, they want a good product. They have a vested interest in producing something that's just going to be amazingly brilliant as far as, you know, a design goes. So
time will tell. Where are we going to make it?
Hmm?
Where is it going to be manufactured?
Well, you know, that's a good question.
I don't know.
Where did the fairies come from?
Hey, you know, I don't want to forget, you know, these German fairies have turned into white elephants like the Fast Cats.
Yeah, they're using too much fuel, are they not?
Yeah, and they shake a bit too, but they're such fuel hogs that they can only be used in super high volume full capacity runs when, you know, frankly, people would wait too long unless they were used.
Hmm. Well, so we want to ex-Germany out of the product line.
We know what these planes made in Germany anyway. So, John, give us a sense of irony
of ironies. The same mistake that Clark made for the NDP, Campbell made on the German ferries, and they're over-designed, over-heavy, and underpowered.
Okay. By the way, I just looked up a little history. The F-35 Joint Strike Fighter Canada has been a participant in the JSF program since 1997.
Wow.
That's 14 years when the Department of National Defense signed on to the concept demonstration phase with an investment then of $10 million.
Yeah.
As part of this phase, Canada participated in an extensive and rigorous U.S.-led competitive process where two bidders, Boeing and Lockheed Martin, developed and competed prototype aircraft. You're not reading this in the downstream media. So here was a process that took place 13 to 14 years ago that we took part in that led to
two superstars as far as the development of the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter.
So that's the sort of background. And by the way, it's right there. It took me 2 minutes to Google and find that.
Yeah.
So that's Industry Canada's website, and I'd like to find out. I'd like to add up how much. Okay, Canada is one of 9 countries partnering the JSF program. U.S., U.K., Italy, Netherlands, Turkey, Norway, Denmark, and Australia. That's a pretty good group of people.
Yeah.
And so, you know, this is part of a big process, and Michael Ignatieff knows that.
Yeah.
Just as Jean Chrétien knew what he was doing when he said that we would cancel the helicopter deal.
Yeah.
So did you like that little?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
You're very good.
And, you know, and it cost us a bundle and put us back and put the lives of so many of our good men and women in the Canadian Forces in further jeopardy. And certainly canceling this and starting from scratch, putting it 10 years behind, would, again, just make us a laughingstock. And I don't think we have time for that.
Our forces deserve to have decent equipment.
Absolutely.
I mean, there has to be an investment in our security and what we want as far as a reputation on a global
front. So this is a challenge to the downstream media. Tell the full story. Tell the full story here. Every time that this gets reported with Michael Ignatieff or Jack Layton talking about canceling these fighters, tell the story about how we've been part of the process that did involve competitive contracting between the two superstars in the industry, and how we entered this 14 years ago. And how we put in tens of millions of dollars since then as part of the development. It was the Liberals that started this, with the Conservatives supporting it. It was not an issue then. And you know what? If the liberals were doing this now, it would not be an issue. If the liberals were in government now, they would be following through on what Chrétien and Martin started in 1997, and the conservatives would not be making an issue out of this because they know how important this is. It's one thing I don't think they'd be political about.
Well, I wonder if a parliamentary committee couldn't have a look at it and just sort of assure we, the citizen taxpayers, that, this is a good design. It is going to work. It is the best we can do, and we got to do it.
The committees have become so politicized. It's a minority government.
Yes.
The committee is controlled by the opposition parties. They're making political decisions, political statements, and political condemnations of breaches of ethics and things like this. Is all political stuff, and so I wouldn't trust the committees either.
Yeah.
It is. At times like this, the public should look to the media, and the media often does look to the media, and the media have a responsibility to tell the full story. Mm-hmm. Just don't give the Liberal and NDP spin. And that's what we're spinning out of control with this fighter plane right now. It's time to eject out of this.
Yeah, it's a flat spin. You don't get out of that.
Okay.
Get that rip and roar going, Terry.
Okay. So, rip and roar session with John Twigg. That's how we advertise you tonight. So how do you think generally the federal election is going, though, the campaign here in Canada?
Well, I don't know. I'm having trouble getting excited by it.
On that point, I'm going to stop you right there. I must say that I was a little more interested in a certain torpedo of truth campaign that was going on in the U.S. than I was in the, I don't know if you're Charlie Sheen's speaking engagements. What is it called?
I know the story.
My torpedo of truth or something? Anyway, that's more exciting. We'd like a little
A
few torpedoes of truth up here. Anyway, sorry. So go ahead, because I did ask you the question. I was very impolite to stop you.
No. It's a two-way street here. I wrote an article, Desperate Hypocrite Harper Triggered Election in Desperate Bid to Gain Powers of a Majority.
That's only natural. Come on, John. Why is it so desperate? Come on now. Why is it so desperate to want a majority government?
Terry, the gist of the article is that Parliament wasn't working. And he was trying to get things through. Harper was. There's more than 30 bills died on the order paper that, frankly, this dysfunctional parliament killed.
Right.
Many of them were good. Some of them were bad. But
there were some private members' bills.
I am not one that says we should not have an election because it costs $300 million. We needed an election because our parliament isn't working.
But Harper, to his credit, too, because if you talk to anybody on the street, nobody blames Harper for this. He's gotten away hook, line, and sinker if, in fact, what you say is that he deliberately triggered this, because everybody thinks the Liberals and the NDP are just, no votes for sure. Harper, the Conservatives have just benefited from the perception out there that this is exactly what a waste of taxpayers' money. Let's give the Conservatives the majority. Let's get back to business and stop costing us taxpayers, $300 million every few years.
Well, I just refer listeners to my whole column, but I won't.
Where was that published?
www.thecommentary.ca.
Okay, good.
That's who I'm writing for these days.
And by the way, sorry, just scrolled down to the bottom of the Industry Canada thing on the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter.
Yep. Apparently,
Canadian government has invested $168 million into the program. But get this, to date, 85 companies, research labs, and universities in Canada have received over $350 million in contracts back.
I mean, MDA here in our backyard is one of the world's leading autopilot designers.
Anyway, it's a very good Industry Canada. Just Google Industry Canada and F-35 Giant Strike Fighter, and you'll find all this stuff.
You know what? You just gave me a good idea for a show, Terry. You can just, teach the mainstream, downstream media how to do research.
Professor Terry. We'll have a little blackboard here.
Roadkill University.
Oh, yeah. We could have a Roadkill Academy.
There you go.
Sh- Shouldn't we have a debate, though, about whether or not Elizabeth May should be in the debate?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You know what? And thank you for mentioning that, because I did, even though I was on vacation last week, I saw some of the coverage, and she was saying, she had this one quote about this being absolutely undemocratic, that she won't be allowed. Absolutely. I mean, like, as undemocratic as you could get, like, more undemocratic than lining up political dissidents and slaughtering them, more undemocratic about throwing people into jail without charge and having them languish there for 5 years, more undemocratic than snatching people off the street and pulling their toenails out until they confess to crimes they didn't commit.
Yeah.
Oh, is that what you mean by absolutely undemocratic, Elizabeth May? Get a life.
Well, I've got a line about Elizabeth May. I'm just looking for it here. But the gist is that she admonished the other two or the other three opposition leaders for being so negative towards Harper, and said that, you know, she was going to run a positive campaign. And then before her breath finished, she called Harper a hypocrite. So she's a hypocrite about Harper being a hypocrite.
Very good. Hypocrite squared.
Yeah.
See, you're back to that Roadkill Academy.
The Roadkill Academy. Here's how you can tell.
And
yeah, push some more buttons for me, John. This is really fun.
Well, let's go to Christy Clark, Christy Crunch, Captain Crunch there.
Now, you're going to have to enlighten me here. Okay. I missed this Crunch stuff.
Well, you go to the BC NDP website, and the ad runs. It's about 30 seconds, and it's a... Carrie, do you want to do it?
Well, we're gonna let Terry watch this thing. It's
now,
only 30 seconds.
You guys talk you watch BC NDP.
When you get it up, we'll remain silent. Just turn your volume up.
Yeah, www.bcndp.ca, I think it is.
Yeah, okay.
Or it might be bc.ndp. But apart from that, though, I wanted to point out, you know, about how Christy Clark, she's come back from a week away, and she's pounding out all of these good news things. One of them is she did the sled dog story this morning.
Yes, well,
and, you know, they've handed out $100,000 now to the SPCA to do investigations. That's the same budget that Campbell cut to zero. Well, duh. It used to be $75,000 or $35,000. I mean, just peanuts. The other provinces are spending almost a million dollars a year on sort of like animal protection. And BC was doing nothing, and yet now we're going to be doing more. There's people dying in the east side of Vancouver, and suddenly Christy Clark's getting us all hot and bothered about sled dogs.
You missed the beginning of the show. We had some talk about. We actually had some talk about this as well. So, if you want to, but we didn't bring up the point that you're bringing up. You're right. So this is the big family-friendly initiative. That's her fourth big decision or something.
Yeah.
There's $100,000 for the SPCA. Which, by the way, believes that it's inhumane for wild animals to kill other wild animals.
Oh, yeah. You got to listen to Terry's explosive research.
I tried to listen, but for some reason my computer wasn't playing your Listen Live thing. So.
Okay. So it'll be there on the archive.
It'll be on the archive.
It might inspire you to write another column for your commentary. So.
But, I mean, more generally about provincial politics, you know, whether or not she's going to call a by-election before the federal election, and Bill Bennett's back in caucus and all that. The NDP has got a leadership contest on, and it's like there's nothing happening. They're all up north, and Christy Clark's just having a field day.
Well, you know what? There was a funny thing that happened when I tuned into CKNW a few weeks back, because they were raising this issue about how negligent they were being about, you know, not covering the NDP. And I guess David Schreck, you know, has made some noise about this. So the two commentators, I don't even remember who they were talking about this, and, you know, that they really should be paying attention. And anyway, within a matter of three sentences, they were back talking about Christy Clark.
Okay. Well, yeah. Hey, listen, about the NDP leadership race with the Five Stooges.
What leadership race?
What happened to this thing that there had to be a female leader because the two other senior executives were male?
Oh, Terry.
What happened there?
That's such a pathetic substantive, but I mean, within the NDP, yes, it's an issue.
It's a huge issue.
Sorry, this is their own rules. If we can't trust them to enforce their own rules that say that of the three major party positions, one has to be female, how can we trust them to run the province?
Good for you, Terry. I have a simple solution, but I haven't dared present it to them. Please. However, I'll broadcast it to the world.
Electing a gay premier NDP leader won't do.
The top three of the party, the leader, the president, and the treasurer.
Yes.
You know, you have to have two and one. Well, right now it's only on gender, but I think if you added gender or visible minority, then Mo would qualify, and they wouldn't have to do anything. All I have to do is amend their constitution and add
Or they could add sexual visible. Orientation.
Well, or gender identity.
That you had to have more than you had to have. Any sexual orientations.
I have a far more practical solution. Mo can just change his identity. Yeah, his sexual identity. There you go. You know, it works. There's no requirement of a time frame.
Now, John, this is serious stuff.
It could happen.
These are the party rules. These are the party rules, and they have to abide by them. If we can't trust them to live up to their own rules that they've set for themselves, how can we trust them to be in government?
Well, I guess I should disclose that I am a party member.
That's
I'm
fine.
I'm not authorized
we
to
know.
Speak for the party.
We know.
But the rules that they've been operating under have been dysfunctional for decades.
Okay.
The truth comes out.
That word is coming up a lot in this discussion tonight, John. Dysfunctional parliament, dysfunctional party rules.
Dysfunctional
is
feminists.
Is the Christie Clark government dysfunctional right now? Or is it functioning pretty well?
I mean, we could get biblical and talk about the decline of Western society, too.
Why not?
Well, I mean, frankly, I've also written, and it hasn't been published yet, but a top 25 job creation strategies. And, you know, we could be doing an awful lot to make things better around here, one of which would be to have a better emergency preparedness for Armageddon if it comes. No, I haven't.
Oh, now you're
going to
give Marcy McDonald a huge platform here. Were you in the book?
It's the Armageddon fudge factor, then.
Yeah. But I mean, look, you know, whether it's the Japanese nuclear or the wars in Africa and the Middle East or whatever, I mean, the world is getting more and more dicey.
Yeah.
And you know, what are we doing here in BC? I think we should be doing a lot more self-sufficiency.
So it's the apocalypse kind of strategy
we
need.
It's like a no-lose strategy. You know, we could move towards full employment without subsidizing it with tax increases, and we could have... So Armageddon doesn't come. We just have a successful province. You know, there's no downside to it.
Yeah, and we'll all be living in little grass houses and tending to our own little plots of land. Is that the vision?
No, there's obviously going to still be lots of people in cities. But, you know, we could also have a whole new lifestyle of woodlot managers out there.
Yeah, chicken coops in the backyard.
Absolutely. We're already doing it in Vancouver.
Yeah, growing your own, you know what, and... you know, do away with those big hospitals, too. We don't need big hospitals. And, you know, all that industry in Burnaby and Surrey and stuff like that, where they're developing alternative...
Well, we don't need that stuff. If you're accusing me of advocating that, you're off base, because I do not advocate...
Well, I'm just... The sort of way you're going, I know... when I hear about this sort of... what's the expression about sort of this... Well, not just the 100-mile diet and things like that, but also this eco... community thing where you really shouldn't, everything should be within the area. It basically is against international trade. It's
It's actually worse than that, Terry.
Okay.
There's lots of people around, in and outside the NDP, but probably in the Green Party too, more so.
Probably.
But, you know, they're less than zero growth. They want to shrink the economy.
Yes.
And, you know, that's getting pretty close to Maurice Strong and depopulation.
Yes.
And, I mean,
you're not there, though.
Well, I worry that there's a global strategy, a conspiracy to depopulate the Earth. I do.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Do you have Christy Crunch?
No, I couldn't find Christy Crunch. Oh. But anyway, that's all.
Well, we'll have
later.
To save that.
You know,
you'll,
kind
you'll
of
your laugh okay, this
well,
evening.
Fine.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Okay,
but it's just clever. That's
okay.
Really.
Good.
Well, you know what? And
the NDP needs some of that, and they need to get some attention. So,
and a sense of humor. You know,
absolutely.
That's another thing that's missing.
Well, you
there's
know
so many people that are so wrapped up in their hot little issues that they can't stop and laugh.
Well,
can't
you know,
smell the roses.
That was the brilliant part about this thing, and everybody classified it as a negative ad. I thought
an attack ad, but it made everybody laugh.
It was a hoot, yeah. And you know what? If there's something to attack, shouldn't we advertise that?
Absolutely.
I think so.
So are you? Which of the five leadership candidates for the NDP are you supporting, John Twigg? I've got my favorite, a guy I really like.
I'm supporting Horgan, but I'm not officially working for him. I'm not officially working for anybody.
Now, why do you support?
I'm very impressed with Dana Larson. He's more than a one-trick pony. He's actually got a very good critique of the Campbell government. You know, it's a bit of a love-in, but you know, they're all sort of not bad.
So, what makes Horgan stand above the rest?
Well, that's a good question, and yeah. I think it's because
you got the guy who brought up the issue.
He's the only one that understands industry and commerce.
Oh, okay.
He relates to the miners, he relates to the oil and gas guys, he understands fracking, you know, and he doesn't go nuts about it. And, I have to say, he's not perfect either. Uh-huh. There's some things that I wish he would do that he doesn't do.
So would any of these candidates be better than Christy Clark?
Well, thank goodness we have elections for them to say. I personally would say yes. Uh-huh. But I understand that it's not an easy question. It's not an easy answer.
Okay, we got to go really. And just one more question I want to ask you about. Size up what you think happened. Why did all the recall campaigns based on HST, why did they all fail so miserably?
A good, astute question that I hadn't thought of. I didn't have a lot of time to prep. But.
Okay.
I think partly it was the referendum passed, they're going to get a vote. And the other thing was that the government, I think, did a good campaign of saying, you know, hey, this is unfair. You know, they're just refighting the last election. And, you know, what did these guys do? Well, my view is that all of those people sat in the backbench and did nothing when the HST was forced upon us. Therefore, they're valid targets for recalls. But the steam has gone out of the issue. No, the June 24th referendum, I suspect, will pass because the structure of the HST is bad and people know it. But the propaganda that's going out there to support it, like Kevin Falcon was doing this morning on the radio, it's going to be a tough fight.
Yeah. Thank you very much, John Twigg, political commentator. I do appreciate you joining us tonight. And
I appreciate the opportunity.
Great. Talk to you again soon, we hope.
You bet.
Good night, John.
Good night, John. Okay, good night.
You know, I want to follow up on that because I think Christy Clark, that was probably one savvy thing she did. She did take the wind out of the sails by saying, okay, we're going to put this question out there on the HST. You know, I mean, what do you do then?
Yeah,
you know?
Savvy, absolutely. Yeah. Now, listen, next week we've already got the show lined up. We're going to have Ezra Levant on. We are just
won't be any fun.
We are just 10 days away, 10 days, a week and a half away from the inauguration of Sun TV News. And Ezra Levant is going to have his own show on there, a daily talk show. And, folks, watch out. This is going to be exciting stuff. And, you know, maybe we can integrate that network into our network and have
willing to help them out,
take them over or something
like that.
They
do some good work there,
Terry. Well,
they will be.
Yeah. As a columnist, he's been really good, and I think he's going to be good.
But
he'll be a guest, and you've got somebody else lined up.
Michael Vaughn's going to be in. There is this big push to get data information about every person here in British Columbia and elsewhere in Canada. Michael Vaughn's with the BC Civil Liberties Association, but wait till you hear what they're after. The data mining industry, alive and well. Billions of dollars, your medical and health records. Everybody needs to know what's going on here.
All that and Andy Rooney, too, next week. No, he won't be here on Roadkill Radio. See you then. Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Roadkill Radio. Join us again next week for another trip down the superhighway of information, fact, and truth.